Silent Warrior Chronicles would like to issue a trigger warning for this week's episode, as we will be discussing topics that may be triggering for some of our audience.
Listener discretion is advised. If you or someone you know is experiencing a crisis, contact 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Stay safe, warriors.
Hola, warriors. Welcome back to another Talk With Us Tuesday, brought to you by the Silent Warrior Chronicles.
Namaste. We're excited to have you join us in this week's episode, and we thank you for your unconditional support. Don't forget to rate us and leave us a review. Shall we get started, Desi girl?
I'm ready when you are, Lady DMC.
Let's do it. Welcome, welcome, Warrior Nation, back to another episode of Talk With Us Tuesdays, brought to you by the Silent Warrior Chronicles. I'm your co-host, Lady DMC, so happy to be here today with you guys. But as you know, I never come alone. I always come accompanied by my homegirl, my sister Fran, the best friend that any girl could ever ask for, and my sister from another mister, Desi Girl.
Aw, thank you, Lady DMC. I'm ecstatic to be here.
Love it when we get to record, girl. Like, this is my therapy, my de-stressing session. It's just so amazing to be here, just having another amazing conversation with you, girl.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is just us talking about another scandal happening in planet Earth.
Isn't that the story of our life? I mean, Warrior Nation, this girl and I, we get together and we try to solve all the world problems in one sitting. Never works out, and we just end up eating Taco Bell. But anyway, I digress.
We did have Taco Bell today for lunch, ladies and gentlemen. And it was scrumptious. And no, Lady DMC did not scream, hello.
That's a story for another time. So, ladies and gents, we have another amazing topic for you guys today. And all our comic book fans and all our movie enthusiasts are gonna absolutely love this one, or hate it. We'll see. Today we're talking about the Joker movie.
Woohoo!
All right, so I know this one is very near and dear to my heart personally, because I am married to a very, very big comic book and superhero fan. Yes, my hubby is one who has actually helped me prepare for this episode. I watched the movie plenty of times with him, and I'm excited to talk about it. So, Desi girl, I would like you to tell us, because I know that during your schooling, like during your education process to be a social worker, you know, you guys actually had to discuss this movie, is that correct?
Yes, so this movie came out in the midst of, I want to say it was my second year, at the beginning of my second year, and I had to take a DSM class, and we talked about this specific movie a lot, because in the mental health world, there are so many wrongs in this movie, and so many rights, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to talk about it just because I know Mr. Lady DMC is a huge fan, and I know he has given you all these fun facts about Batman and Joker and everything. So I think it'll be interesting for us to have this conversation, because we may be able to help Joker out and give him a diagnosis.
Sounds awesome. So let's get started. So again, spoiler alert. If you haven't watched the movie, you might want to skip forward in the discussion. But Joker is actually about this character named Arthur Fleck. He's basically a gentleman who works as a clown. And throughout the movie, we see how he has suffered so many things in his life. He suffered through abuse as a child, and then we find that out a little bit later in the movie, that there is childhood abuse, and we also see how even as an adult, those traumas and those difficult aspects of life do not stop following him. So we see him actually, as he's working, as he's holding a sign up in the street, he actually gets mugged by a couple of teenagers. He gets physically hurt. He's a loner. He's kind of like the oddball out. Then we see him on the train and how he gets bullied by some other youngsters. And that is actually where he draws the line and starts his life of crime. And then, you know, we see him supposedly, quote, with his mother, end quote, taking care of her. And we find out later in the movie, again, spoiler alert, he's actually adopted. There's just so many things that happen to this character, that happened to Arthur, aka the Joker. And we just see how his life, unfortunately, is just trauma, after just sadness. And this is where it brings us to the mental health aspect. So I would like to officially get into the conversation about that, Desico, now that we have a little bit of the background story.
Definitely. So I'm going to kind of give the professional side of this. So when this movie came out, I remember, by the way, I've never seen the movie. So I'm literally talking about this based off of what my peers, because we had to write a paper about movies. And so I had peers that actually did The Joker and they gave me some of the information. So this is purely, Lady DMC is providing me the information and I'm literally doing the diagnosis as we're talking. When this movie came out, I remember a lot of people saying, oh, see, that's bipolar disorder. That's major depressive disorder. And I'm going to tell you right now, he does not have bipolar disorder, nor does he have major depressive disorder. We've talked about bipolar disorder on other episodes, such as Angie's episode, Brittany's episode. And you can see that they are a little bit more aligned to the diagnosis. And then major depressive disorder, my co-host here has major depressive disorder, and I can assure you, she not cray-cray like Mr. Joker. So, what I want to start with is something that I actually do understand, is that the Joker has a TBI. Did you know that, Lady DMC?
I did, actually. I'll let you go ahead and provide that information, and then I'll give a little bit of the comic book, kind of like the movie, like from actually watching it and having my husband explain it to me. So please proceed.
Right. So his TBI seems to be the center of this clown persona that he's developed. And, you know, the hysterical laughing, which is a sign, it is a symptom of the TBIs, and that's called pathological laughing or crying, or PLC. And so typically 10% of warriors who have a TBI will experience this in the first year of their TBI. And they also deal with mood fluctuation, personality changes, substance use disorders or increase in substance use. And you see that it's a total 360 sometimes, depending on how severe the TBI is. Now, I am not sure how the Joker got a TBI. I know you're going to explain that, Lady DMC. But I think, remembering this, what I just explained to you guys about the symptoms, I'm going to argue that traumatic brain injury is a huge part of his story and his journey as a warrior.
Most definitely, yes. It is the biggest part of him being a warrior. And I don't know, again, I'm not very familiar with the diagnosis. As you said, pathological laughter?
Yeah, so pathological laughing and crying, and it could be either or.
Because I actually read the same thing, but I found it under a different name, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but I actually found something that says pseudobulbar effect. And it's actually the same thing that you were saying. It's exactly the same thing where a person can't control certain moments of laughter or crying, and it doesn't align to the actual feelings that they have. So I believe we're speaking about the same thing again.
We are. So that is a term that is typically not used commonly in mental health, like for what I work in. So I work with patients, right, in a daily basis. So I don't say that, oh, you have whatever the word is. I say you have a TBI and these are the symptoms of your TBI, and that's typically pathological laughing and crying. That term is heavily used in research.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you for clarifying that for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, you, as I said, you find this out in the movie. So, again, this is part of the Joker's origin, or lack thereof. I'll fill you guys in on that. But when Joker goes, because supposedly his mother, quote, mother, end quote, tells him that his father is actually, I believe it's Thomas Wayne's, which is Bruce Wayne's father. So supposedly he's supposed to be related to Batman, right? Because Bruce Wayne is Batman, Thomas Wayne is his dad. So he finds a note from his mother basically saying, your son and I need you. Turns out, when he goes to see Thomas and tell him, hey, I'm your son, Thomas actually tells him, your mother and I never had any type of relationship. So basically saying, like, she's always kind of wanted me, kind of wanted to have me, but she and I never had anything physical or intimate like that. He actually goes to find her records, her medical records, and actually finds out by asking, he gets the records and finds out that not only does she have a mental health record and history, but he finds out that what Thomas told him is true. He is not Thomas's son, nor is he his mother's son. He's actually adopted. And he finds out in those records as well that this woman, who he believed his whole entire life to be his mother, was abusive towards him, and they had actually found him at a young age tied to basically an air conditioning system, a radiator system. So what is known from this, and what we can take away from this, is the fact that his TBI, which you were explaining to us, is coming from abuse from the person he believed that was his mother.
Yeah, and so I'm a little confused, so maybe you can clarify. So I know, I want to say it was the foster mother or the adopted mother. She was diagnosed with delusional disorder and a possibility of a personality disorder as well. Is that the bio mom or is that the foster mom?
I am going to guess it's the adoptive mother. I'm going to guess.
Okay. Yeah, because I know that the adoptive mother or the foster mother, she's the one that beat him up as a kid and was abusive towards him.
Yes, that is correct.
So, all right, so we're seeing some childhood trauma, some physical abuse happening there. So far we're pretty accurate with the diagnosis that we have.
Yes, and actually, just another little fun fact too, the way he kind of discloses that he has this pathological laughter, he's actually on a bus ride home from work, and he sees a child, and the little child is looking at him, and, you know, he has, like, this innate thing being an entertainer, kind of like a clown or whatever, right? He has, like, this innate thing to want to entertain people, and it's a little boy, right? So he starts just trying to make faces and trying to entertain him, and the mother turns around and says, don't talk to my son. Like, what the heck are you doing? Like, you know, like, don't look at him or anything like that. And he starts laughing. And then, of course, the mother, when she hears him laughing, is like, oh, you think this is funny? And he hands her a little card and tells her, I'm sorry, I actually have a condition that causes me to laugh when I don't mean it.
Yeah, and so, I know, again, I have not seen the movie, so you can fill in these blanks for me. I know when people talked about the movie, it was you know, there's something wrong with him. Why is he laughing? Why is he so emotional? Like, 1 second is this and 1 second is that. And it's that misconception about bipolar disorder of you're really, really happy 1 second, really, really sad the next. And I think that's where that bipolar disorder came into play. But one thing that I want to talk about, and I don't know if you were going to bring this up, is that he has a fantasy that he reports to his therapist and I believe to other people. Do you know where I'm going with this?
I think I have an idea, but I don't know if we're thinking the same thing, so I don't want to.
So he had a fantasy about, I believe it was his neighbor or something, like she wanted him or something along that line.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
So, and I know fans and watchers were asking, well, is that reality or is that his like delusion per se? Well, there's a diagnosis for that. And it is a delusion, but it's not a delusional disorder delusion. Have you ever heard of narcissistic personality disorder?
I believe you've mentioned it to us before, but please refresh my memory. But I believe you have taught us about it.
So, narcissistic personality disorder is when an individual craves attention by any means, and they think very highly of themselves, and, you know, even the slightest thing can bruise their ego, and it can turn into a huge thing for them. Oftentimes, perpetrators of domestic violence are diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder. We know a very famous person that's had it. I can't think of anyone else, but a lot of mental people think that the Joker had narcissistic personality disorder because the neighbor wanted me and, you know, we did this and this happened and that happened. However, there's no confirmation, right? We all question, well, did that really happen? Because you seem like a loner, right, back then. But it makes us think, well, is this something to boost up your ego? Is this something to boost up your image with others and make us think that, wow, like, look at him?
I kind of feel, having watched the movie, mm-hmm. I kind of feel that they were portraying him as wanting her because he was the one who imagined her coming to his door and talking to him. And then supposedly when she came to the door and they were having a conversation, her introducing herself or whatever, he's the one that goes and tells him, after she says, oh, you're funny, this and that, and he goes, oh, well, I do stand-up, you know, these certain days you should come and watch my show. And she's like, oh, okay, I can do that. I don't know. Like, I understand what you're saying, but maybe in this movie, the script was written to kind of show it as him wanting her a little bit more.
Right, that's narcissistic personality disorder. That, okay. Him wanting her. What did I say the other way?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like really tired.
Okay. Okay, no.
That's what I meant. That he wanted her and made it into this whole thing, which we can never really confirm or deny, right? Because we can't be like, yoo-hoo, Joker, let me ask you, you know, let's talk about what really happened. But I think that was a big flag that he had narcissistic personality disorder because, again, that fantasy, the grandiose self that he has. Because if you ever think about it, he never told his therapist, because the Joker does get help. He does go to therapy, and he never tells his therapist about it. Why not? Why didn't you tell us that there was this woman in your life and, you know, you were so attracted to her and she, you know, maybe was reciprocating what you were feeling.
I hadn't noticed that. But yeah, it actually, not too long into the movie, you do actually see him with the social worker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That is true.
Team social worker here.
Yeah.
But yeah, in therapy, I noticed, and I've seen clips, again, I haven't seen the whole movie, but I remember this part because I was like, you don't bring up a lot of things. And again, it goes back to that misconception that people thought, oh, you have bipolar disorder, or you have depression, because of what he fed to his therapist.
Gotcha. Okay.
The other thing is he's a loner, essentially. I believe he's always a loner throughout the movie, right?
Correct. Yes, he is described as a loner. Like, the only people that kind of he associates with are, like, two co-workers, I believe, which are the ones that come and visit him after he commits the murders on the train. And his, I'm just gonna say mother, but Warrior Nation, when you hear me say mother, you know I mean quote, end quote, mother. So those are the only, like, three people that you see him hanging around.
And interesting enough, this person complains that I feel lonely, I feel isolated, I have these negative thoughts coming in my head all the time. Again, yes, someone with MDD could sit here and give you that insight and tell you, but what was his secondary gain to those reports? He wanted that sympathy and empathy from the clinician. He wanted them to say, poor you, oh my gosh, no, you're an amazing person. Like, and that goes back to that narcissistic personality disorder. He needs someone to brush his ego.
Gotcha. You're bringing this up for me and making me look at those scenes in a very different point of view now.
And that's the goal. Like, for warriors out there that have not seen this movie, listen to this episode and go watch it and see if you see what Lady DMC and I are seeing. The other thing was, and this is something, I want to say this was like back in July. I actually posted a quote from the movie for our mental health, daily mental health quote, and it was, the worst part of having a mental illness is that people expect you to behave as if you don't. And that struck a lot of heartstrings, especially mental health warriors. And I know Lady DMC, that kind of touched you as well, because when I had posted that quote, you were like, yes, queen, like 100%.
Absolutely. I mean, I can completely relate to the Joker in terms of having to supposedly act like nothing's going on. Like, there comes a point in the movie too, kind of like what you're explaining to us with that quote, Desi girl, where he gets accused of a lot of things, he gets bullied, and you just see him kind of put on like that creepy Joker smile. And it's like, okay, you can see that he's hurting. You can see that there's more bullying, more trauma going on right now. For example, he's being accused of, when he got mugged with the youngsters, he got accused of stealing the sign. And they were telling him, this is going to come out of your salary. And he's saying, but I got mugged. Do you not understand that? He's like, no, but his boss is like, no, but you're still going to pay for it. And it comes to the point where he has to hide it so much, kind of like that quote that you just gave us, where you have to pretend like you don't. And it just exacerbated his mental health so much that he ends up killing the three people that were bullying him, like shooting all three of them. So yeah, absolutely. I can see how having to hide it would just break you, completely break you.
And I want to just take a moment and kind of talk about TBIs. You know, Lady DMC, we talk about this every single day. We play charades every single day because I don't remember words. But TBI is not something that you see. It's a silent disorder, essentially. And I feel like a lot of people, oh, well, you have a TBI, well, but you didn't go to war. And it's always correlated with a veteran or a service member. And you can get a TBI just from a car accident. You can get one as the Joker, like just being abused. And so bear in mind, when someone says they have a TBI, just because they seem, quote, normal, doesn't mean everything is 100. You will see in the podcast that oftentimes I will literally forget my train of thought, or I will go into a whole rabbit hole, and then Lady DMC has to be like, oh, you meant this? I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I was talking about. It's really hard. It's really hard to cope, and I don't experience the laughing so much, but I do experience the excessive crying. Like, I literally start crying, and my mood goes from 0 to 1,000,000 real quick. And Lady DMC, I'm sure you could attest to seeing that change in me, because you knew me prior to the TBI.
Yeah, I can I can attest to the things that we've had to work through personally, you know, as besties with your injury.
So the Joker does an amazing job of showing that this is, yes, I look normal to you. I look fine. I don't have, you know, scars or something, but internally I'm not okay. My brain is not okay. My brain didn't ever heal from that trauma. And he got, I believe it was his frontal cortex that got hurt for him. So that's where the emotions and feeling center is. And so that might explain the very odd behaviors that he presents with. I don't think he genuinely is laughing at someone as he's killing them. I think that is his brain's reaction because, again, there was trauma there. There was damage there.
Agreed, and that's exactly how the pathological laughing happens. And that if you look at the description on Google, if you look it up from experts, from the medical dictionary, that's exactly what it explains, is you laugh or you cry when the emotions that you really do have inside of you don't align with that.
Yeah. But on a lighter note, this is hilarious to me, what I'm about to say. And I might crack up laughing because every single time I see this meme, I didn't even know it was from this movie, but every time I see this meme, it's 100% true from the clinician standpoint. But there was a scene where, so he's on a lot of psychiatric medications, I guess. Is that true, Lady DMC? Do you remember that?
Girl, you're getting ahead of me, but yes, he's on 7 different medications.
So there's this meme out there, and it's linked to like the social worker, like therapist link meme, where I forgot what the meme looks like, but anyway, so he supposedly has insight into his medications, and he tells his therapist, I need my medication to be increased. Oh my god, like, I've had patients telling this, yeah, so, I think my medication needs to be increased, and I'm like, really? So tell me more, why do you think you need your meds? I just can't, like, I've had so many patients tell me this, and I'm like, what? And they're like, actually, I need my meds changed, and I'm like, what? Like, did you become a psychiatrist overnight? Like, what just happened? But this cracks me up, because the meme is him literally, his hands out, and he's like, and I think he's in a nurse's outfit. And he's like his hands out like for more meds, and it's 100% true. I have not had one day go by where someone has not asked me to either increase their meds or change their meds to something more addictive.
Have you had someone do that quite often? Like, you know, maybe they just got adjusted, or maybe kind of like the Joker, they're on 3, 4, 5 different types of medications or however many, and they ask you for more anyway?
Yes. So when I was working the acute psychiatric unit, I remember a lot of patients on like a lot of meds. Like, I think the most I've seen is 11 meds, and that's psych meds, not even like, you know, health related meds. It's all psych meds. And I remember asking the guy, I'm like, why are you on 11 medications? And he was like, you know, I have a lot of problems, like, let me tell you. And this person supposedly was diagnosed with like schizophrenia, severe something. I mean, it was something that someone would not have any insight whatsoever. And this man had insight, plenty of it. And so I just remember him telling me why he was on every medication. I'm like, wow. I was like, I'm glad you're stable, sir, because it seems to be working for you. And turns out he was selling them. But anyways.
Well, go figures. Makes sense. But yeah, actually, that scene that you're talking about, where the meme is coming from, is that scene that I told you towards the beginning. And yes, he actually states to the social worker, he says, I actually wanted to talk to the doctor about increasing my meds. She opens his file and she goes, Arthur, I see here that you're on 7 different medications. She's like, certainly one of them must be doing something for you.
Hey, I mean, it's a trial and error process, but I don't think you should be on 7, especially him. I don't think he needs to be on 7, but, and the meds he was on, I don't think were working, because clearly we were still over here hootering and hollering.
Yeah.
But what I think is really interesting with him is, and I want to go back to that narcissistic personality disorder, but the other thing is that his mother, we're just gonna call her mom, His mom had delusional disorder. She had some personality disorder that was never verified, and I don't think we saw the mom enough to even be able to give her like a disorder or diagnosis, I mean. But do you ever like notice that you feel really bad for him at certain points, like, oh, like, you know, poor you, and the other times like, dude, like, you could do better.
Yeah, I think the scenes that really touched me and that did give me that, oh, like, it in a very creepy kind of weird way, I kind of wanted to go and just give him a hug. Where when I heard about his abuse as a child, and there's also a scene, Desi girl, where remember how I told you that he told his neighbor, the one that he liked, that to invited her over to the stand-up. So he actually watches this show, right? And it's this show where the TV host, and you could say this is one of his delusions, he sees himself in the show, and he ends up talking to the host and ends up telling him, hey, yeah, I live with my mom. Like, I never knew my dad kind of walked out on us, this and that. And then the host in his delusion calls him up to the stage, and then it's just like, oh, like, let's give Arthur a hand, this and that. And then supposedly in the delusion, they cut off the camera and they're talking supposedly off camera. And he just goes, oh, Arthur, I would be so proud to have a son like you. I'd be proud to be your dad, this and that. And he gives him a hug. So I'm like, I mean, you could call it daddy issues or whatever if you want, but it just made me feel so sad for him. Like, afterward, once you see the whole movie and you think back to that scene, like, finding out that his mom is not his real mom, the person that he thought was his mom isn't his real mom, and then his dad walked out on him, supposedly, it's like, okay, so who are you? Like, what family do you have? Who do you really have around you? So those two scenes to me were the ones that I was just like, oh, I feel terrible for him, you know?
Yeah, but I think, again, that is the MO for a narcissistic. They want you to feel bad for them. They want you to... They weave a whole narrative for you to make you think that they are a victim of something and it is not in their control. And he does a perfect job of that throughout the movie. Which is why, you know, again, it's the curse of the DSM. As we're talking, I haven't felt bad for him yet. I haven't been like, you know what? I feel really bad for you. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. No. Because there's another factor that I haven't talked about yet. And that is what I'm going to call, because I know this is going to make you have sirens in your head, it is the Lisa syndrome. Do you remember what that was?
Yes.
What is it?
Isn't it the antisocial personality disorder?
Ding, ding, ding. Yes. So now Joker doesn't, I mean, he does taunt. I feel like he taunts people. Do you feel like he does that?
I feel like he does, but knowing how much crap supposedly he's gone through, and with the TBI and with all his trauma, I understand why he would be taunting people and just putting his guard up. Do I think it's right? No. Do I agree with it? No. Do I agree with taking people's life? Heck no. But I can see how someone with an injury and with the predisposition to a mental illness would just put their guard up and say, hey, this has been enough. I've gone through enough crap, to put it PC, and I'm not gonna let it happen to me anymore.
So, the reason why I bring up ASPD or antisocial personality disorder is because he does meet criteria for it. And so, I mean, the criteria is pretty broad, and again, the TBI makes a lot of the diagnosis mucky because we don't know if it's TBI that's causing this or genuinely he has this personality disorder. So for ASPD, He fails to conform to special norms with respect to lawful behavior. He's breaking the law left and right. He never really follows the rules. Now, is that the TBI or is that him being disruptive? I don't know. Do you have any back history on that?
Okay. If I could just fill into that fun fact that we were talking about off the air, I'll just go ahead and give it to you and to our warriors at this time. The only background from the comic book history, from the superhero history that we have of the Joker that's accepted is the fact that the Joker has no origin. The only things that are confirmed about the Joker are the fact that he's adopted, the fact that there was one bad day that finally broke the straw that broke the camel's back for him, and that caused his life of crime. Anything else? Oh, and the other things that are confirmed are the actions that he takes, and by actions, I mean the crimes. So the shootings in the movie are the Joker. The crimes that he commits are the Joker. Anything else is up for debate. You can either decide that it was his delusions, that it was really him, or that it was a hybrid. And that was the intention of the movie makers. If you look at the interviews with the director and producers and everything, that's kind of the point. It's up for interpretation to each audience member, to each person who's viewing the movie. So that's the fact that I wanted to give you on the air, Desi Girl, is that those are the only things that are confirmed. Anything else is up to you and up to me and up to Warrior Nation to decide.
Interesting. See, I think, again, I'm going to go back to my argument. I think the TBI really messes things up because we don't really know the extent of the TBI. We know the excessive crying and laughing. We know that he has poor decision-making skills. I do think that he's a narcissist, and I think everything that is not solidified in the comics and in the movie, and that are, you, as you said, are up for debate, I think is the narcissistic. And I think it's him boasting his ego, boasting his image to others.
And that's the beautiful part of this movie, Desi Girl. As I told you, you have the right to make that interpretation. As a clinician, with your expertise, with what you bring to the table, with your knowledge, that's completely up to you. And that's exactly what the directors and the producers wanted you to do. Like, exactly what you're doing right now is what my hubby and I did when we saw the movie. We were literally in the car, and he was telling me, okay, Lady DMC, what do you think? You tell me what you see. And I said, I think it's a hybrid. Like, for example, do I really think that he went out with his neighbor? No. Do I really think that, you know, XYZ, and I would point out different scenes? No. Do I think he really committed the murders on the train? Yes. Do I really think he smothered his mother to death? Yes. So, like I said, I think it's a hybrid. And the thing is, too, with that movie, another thing that's supposed to be up for debate is, was this all just in his head? Like, was he really in the streets besides the crimes? Was he really on the streets working, all that stuff? Or was he imagining this in a mental hospital, in a mental institution? So again, what you say and what I say are both correct. That's the point of the Joker. He's supposed to be a non-set character, even in the Batman world. Like, even, I'm talking cartoon world and everything.
Okay, but see, as a clinician, and just me and being me, I need a solid answer. And I really think it's a narcissist. I do think he's in a mental hospital. I will say that. I don't think he's out in the streets loose. But I think this is all of his narcissism. This is him bolstering himself to the unit. Because think about it. When he's talking to the social worker, he's not, it's never like, you know, I'm, my mom abused me, this happened, that happened, and I want to get better because I want to move on, I want a healthy life. It is, well, so I did, this is what happened to me, so take it or leave it. Like, he, and you can see that it's a badge of honor with him.
And as I said, that's perfectly fine. That's your professional interpretation. And since, well, you and I both have that personality where we need to know things, you know, for our anxiety and stuff, like, we need to know. You can absolutely see the Joker that way. Absolutely. For me, my interpretation would be, I think he distorted a whole lot of crap, and I think he's telling a lot of the things without being clear, without really remembering every single detail. And I think he was institutionalized after he committed the crimes, is what I'm thinking.
Yes, so I'm on the same boat as you. I think once after the three people that were killed happened, he was deemed incompetent to stand trial, was put in a psychiatric unit, and then that's where the story starts. I think all of these thoughts that he shares with us, everything that we see happening, I think that is his, it's in his mind. I think he is developing a persona of some sort where those that are listening will either feel bad for him or envy him or make him out to be someone who overcame something without being scathed. However, the TBI, go back to that TBI, we don't know to what length that has done. Did the TBI create him to have such delusions? Is he delusional too? I don't know.
Absolutely. And I agree with that interpretation as well. And again, I think that's the neat part of this conversation. And the beautiful thing, Warrior Nation, once you go ahead and hear this episode, once we put it up for you guys, super excited to put it up because we want to read you in the comments. What do you guys think? I'm sure, Desi Girl, please tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm curious to see how you guys see the Joker as well.
Absolutely. I want to hear what Warrior Nation has to say. I want to hear all of our Batman friends, not friends, fans. I want to hear what you guys think because, again, the beauty of SWC is you're getting a clinician and a warrior's point of view, but oftentimes, you know, after doing this for so long, Lady DMC and I's mind kind of meshed together and we oftentimes have the same view.
Yep.
So sometimes it's a bad thing. And this, you know, this is a place where even though we have very two different perspectives, we've ended up in the same place. After the crimes were committed, deemed incompetent to stand trial, was placed in a psychiatric unit, and all of this was in his head.
Absolutely. Desi Girl, if I could move forward a little bit, when we were off the air preparing for this episode today, I remember that I had texted you and I told you that I had some facts that I had read from fellow experts, fellow clinicians, kind of like yourself. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go back to the point that you had made in terms of how experts and people like yourself with the knowledge and education had analyzed this movie, right? Mm-hmm. I want to give you just a few points here that they have said they agree with the movie and that they don't agree with the movie. And I want to hear your clinician perspective. I want to hear what you think.
Okay.
So,
Warrior Nation, if you would like to find out what Desi Girl has to say regarding what her colleagues and experts in mental health are saying about the Joker movie, tune into part 2 next week. We'll see you there.
Well, Warriors, that's all we have for you today. But please, don't be too saddened, as we'll be back next week. Till then, stay happy, stay healthy, and we'll see you for the next one.
Bye!